Greetings, radio friends. We're happy to come to you once again through Jesus Christ, God's glorious Son, who gave himself a ransom for every one of us that we might have eternal life if we would believe and accept him on the conditions of God. May his grace and peace and mercy be multiplied to each of you today. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith located on the Wall Arney Road in Lenoir, North Carolina. And we invite you, if you're in the area, to enjoy the blessings of God's services with us each Sunday morning. Sunday school is 9:30. Morning worship service, 10:30. The evening message is at 7 o'clock. Wonder of wonders. Jesus, our Lord, gave so many things to think about. We would like to study one of them today from Matthew 13:18. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now in verse 3, we're told that a great multitude was gathered together unto him, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, which had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had not deepness of the earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit." So we find that some brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Not all the same, but they brought forth fruit. Then he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." This is the parable of the sower Jesus gave, and he's talking about here. When in verse 18 he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." The parable of the sower was not quite clearly understood by the disciples. They came and said to him, "Lord, why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Does this mean that there are some people to whom it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, while there are others to whom it's closed or shut? We must be careful in our answer. In verse 12, our Lord explains. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables," he said, "because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." We might pause here to say, "Well, Lord, then this isn't their fault." But let us proceed to the 14th verse. "In them," he says, "is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, 'By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.'" Well, thus far we might ask, and we would get the answer. We might ask why. And the answer is, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are full of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them." We would like for you to notice very clearly that it was the failure of these people to open their eyes, and the responsibility is placed squarely on each individual. Their eyes have they closed, the act of closing their eyes to keep from hearing and understanding with their heart, because they did not want to be converted from their way to the way of the Lord and be healed by the Lord. So the responsibility of desiring more than anything in the world to hear the Lord's word, to obtain the Lord's salvation, to be converted, is a need that we must think about. But no, these people had a heart that had waxed gross. They had a heart filled with other things that they wanted, and they didn't want to give them up. Therefore, they couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. He proceeds to tell them what these things are that makes the heart wax gross, makes one's ears dull of hearing, one's eyes to be close to the great salvation of our God. Verse 19, he said, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." This is the Lord's way of telling us that as soon as we hear the word of the kingdom, and if we don't have understanding on any part, the wicked one, Satan, the devil, is going to come quickly to catch away that which was sown in our heart. This reminds me of my corn patch this year that I have sown 3 times already. When the seed is sown in a perfect good ground, the birds have come upon the first appearance of the corn shooting upward, and they've plucked it up and eaten all the corn, and the result was an empty field. While I was away in Canada recently with no one to resist them, they simply took all the seed when the blade was about 2 inches long. They took it all, I say. Now, this is what Satan will do to you if you hear the word and don't understand it. He will not let you have seed remaining in your heart. He will take it from you. What a shame to come into the day of the Lord and find out that you have been robbed by the devil of eternal life and of an inheritance into the kingdom of God, because you heard, and yet you did not retain that word with a diligence, but you let the wicked one catch it away from you. Verse 20, But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but he doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here again, the whole fault of losing out on salvation of God is not the Lord, nor a law that prohibits one from accepting the Lord, but rather it's the individual who is solely responsible for retaining or losing the seed. The stony places is a heart that has a stony place in it. And of course, to hear about salvation, the glory of eternity with the Lord, has a great magnetic appeal to these people. And of course, they desire it, and with joy they receive it. But the word doesn't take root among the stony places of their heart. For where there are stones, it's very difficult for a seed to take root strong enough to endure. But for a while, it looks like it will make it. But then when tribulation or persecution arises because of them having to make a choice, and rather than suffer embarrassment or humiliation, they make the choice, and so they in turn give up the word, which would lead them to life eternal, rather than suffer for the word's sake. This is like a man giving up $1,000,000 for a broken down alarm clock that will not work, as far as I'm concerned. When will we learn that Jesus gave these things to relate to us the great need of opening our eyes, our ears? What an invitation that he gave to each of us. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And from these thoughts of explanation, we could add without harm, and let that which he hears take root and bring forth fruit in his life. Verse 22 provides us with one of the greatest pitfalls of those who have ever hoped for salvation, and they're dealing with the word of God. He that also received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now this is a sad thing to think about, that on the great day of judgment we will look at that crown of life we lost because the cares of this world had first place in our heart, the deceitfulness of riches, the house and home we wanted to own, the car, the furniture, those things we could call our very own will seem like rotten rags compared to the glory that we could have had if we had not permitted the deceitfulness of riches to choke God's word right out of our life. For this present world, the riches and cares of this life, they might seem to be important now, but if we will open our eyes and our ears, if we will understand with our heart that the greatest things of all times in the heart of man is production, activity of the fruit of the Word of God in our hearts, it's the only thing that will be worthwhile when the world is on fire. No wonder there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when one beholds his worldly gain and thought it was more important than the Word of God, and he stands before the judge of this universe, and he's given the reward of the unfaithful and loses the crown of life, the crown of glory. Friend, I ask you, is it worth it? But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, and also beareth fruit. He bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is one of the most beautiful expressed thoughts concerning a real Christian that was ever uttered. He beareth fruit. God's word has taken deep root in his life. Satan cannot catch it away. The stony places in his heart have been removed because they have been cultivated by the plow of God's word of truth, and he's been truly converted. Tribulation, persecution cannot separate him from the production of God's love in his heart. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches are not found in this heart. There's only one thing that's important to this heart. It is to produce with the word of God fruit to the glory of Jesus Christ. Some bring forth 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Once a great man said to Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friends, almost will not get one through the gate into the city of God. Almost a Christian is not a Christian. I may be 99% convinced, but unless I am 100% convinced for the Lord, that the Lord has come into my life 100%, how shall I escape the wrath of God? Jesus gave his all for us his entire life. Shall we think that we can come to him and give less than all? Oh, I will give the Lord half of my life, but I want to serve him on my own conditions. It reminds me of the young man to whom our Lord said, Follow me. Now he heard it. He was willing to follow the Lord. But only on his own conditions. He put up an excuse. It seemed to be a legitimate excuse. He said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Well, his daddy was dead and he wanted to go to the funeral. You can't blame him for that, can you? He was more concerned with his father's funeral than obeying the command of the Lord. How like so many of people today. We as mankind dwelling on this earth are willing to obey the word of God in our lives, which we hear. But only on condition that it doesn't interfere with what we want to do ourselves. And I think that Jesus here gave a very extreme case to show how important it really is that we come to the Lord with complete, unconditional surrender of our lives to the Lord. Jesus rebuked this man and said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Another said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house." At home at my house can keep one from bringing forth fruit unto the Lord and can keep one from a joyful experience in following Jesus. So the Lord rebuked him, saying, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus said that straight was the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We find that in Luke 14 and 18, we have these people who gave excuses. He says, "One man, I have bought a piece of ground. Another, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. One another said, I have married a wife." These are flimsy excuses, and what a gnashing of teeth there will be when you stand before the judge and look at the eternal life and inheritance of others, the crowns of glory you could have had, but you loved that piece of land, that yoke of oxen, the best in this lifetime. How cheap those things will be, will look and be compared to eternal life when you stand before the judge. But alas, then it'll be too late. Friends, we ought to think about these things. Today's a day of salvation. Eternity waits for those who are serving the Lord and bringing forth fruit to His glory. Let us pray. Father, we ask that You would take these thoughts, and we ask Thee to seal them to the hearts of men today, that they may turn to Jesus Christ and believe upon Him, that they may give their hearts to Him with an unconditional surrender, 100% for the Lord all the rest of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.